W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH. The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey. Kareem Daniels. And Nate Darling. From the Darling New Media Studios, this is the WTH Podcast.
Howdy and welcome into another episode. Thank you for joining us. However you might be streaming, downloading, or twiddling your thumbs into the breeze, love to have you along. Remember, you can call and tell us all about your grievances anytime on the WTH hotline. It's 916-281-9390. If you forget it, it's right at the top of WTHpod.com. Just above that Shop Amazon tab and that Shop Target tab. You know what to do with those. If you don't, call the hotline.
Call the fucking hotline, motherfuckers.
Get all that done for you. All right, we're going to try and do a quick show for this last one because we ran a little bit long and it's running a little bit late and there's been a lot of anger and we're going to have a good time after we air our grievances.
It's true. That's right, goddammit.
A lot of that stuff going on. Let's see. I got some stuff I want to talk about from a previous show, I think. No, I don't. I lied. Oh, no, I do. I just thought of it. It was something I saw. So before we get into all of the grievances, this came across. So while handcuffed behind her back in the rear of a Kentucky squad car, a suspect removed a bag of narcotics from her vagina and snorted the white powder inside. That's according to police, who arrested her on drug possession charges, amongst other things.
How the fuck?
Exactly. Responding to a report about an intoxicated couple preparing to drive a car, cops in Winchester, a city 20 miles east of Lexington, encountered Catherine Allers, who's 28, and her boyfriend outside a vehicle on Main Street at 11:30 p.m. on a Friday. Now, according to a court citation, Allers was attempting to remove her toddler from a car seat, but was unsteady on her feet. It gets better. Her speech was slurred and told police that she and her companion became lost en route to Cincinnati from Lexington. Cops noted that she had no food for the child, whose diaper was unfastened and car seat was saturated with urine. Upon determining that her 17-month-old son could not be properly cared for since his mother was manifestly under the influence and a danger to herself and others, they arrested her around 2 a.m. So that took 2.5 hours. She was handcuffed with her hands behind her back when she somehow pulled a clear plastic baggie from her vagina cavity. That's the quotes from the report. And dumped some white substance on the seat. She then began to inhale it through her nose. She was subsequently removed from the cop car, but not before she again hid the drug, warned that she would face an additional charge if found in possession of narcotics inside the local jail. She then revealed the substance from between her legs. She was charged with endangering the welfare of a minor, public intoxication, tampering with physical evidence, and possession of a controlled substance. The citation does not specify what drug was in her possession. So, it's all funny until there's a 17-month-old in a car seat.
How the hell did they handcuff her hands behind her back?
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing she's a white lady. So I'm guessing she's got no ass.
She is talented.
She got no ass and reached around and,
I'm like, she got it in there before they arrested her. And mm-hmm. then she took it out in the back seat of the car.
Yes.
There's not a lot of space to move around in.
Yet somehow couldn't manage to take care of her own son.
Yeah.
Just saying. Unbelievable. They're out there.
I can't even. First of all, she looks like she's almost 40.
And she's 28.
Yeah. And it's just so sickening. Like, But yeah, that was fun. That was an uplifting story for sure.
All right. How about this, Jason? A nightclub patron relieved himself into a commercial ice maker early Saturday, according to Florida police, who arrested the intoxicated urinator for disorderly conduct. And he's one of Kareem's cousins. Investigators say that Michael Williams, who also is 28, was spotted urinating inside the ice chest used to distribute ice throughout 261st, which is a St. Petersburg hotspot. After relieving himself around 2:30 a.m., he resisted security guards and sought to boot him from the club where a first Friday party was winding down. The bash was advertised as trendy with a touch of class. Of course it was. Yeah. Sorry. And featured two DJs, including Spindiana Jones.
Oh, man. I bet you the other DJ's like, fuck, man. They didn't fucking even mention me.
He was booked into county jail, released late on a Saturday morning after posting $400 bond. His rap sheet includes felony marijuana conviction, for which he was sentenced to 18 months probation.
Man, fuck that shit.
How do you think he got that knot on his forehead? Cops or security guards?
Security guards.
He's got a big old... We both said
at the same time. It's security guards.
He got a big old knot on his forehead.
Oh, yeah. That guy was just fucked up. You know what? Somebody fucked up and left the hood open of the ice machine.
Yeah.
And he thought it was a urinal because he was fucked up.
They beat his ass because they know they got to clean that shit out.
Oh, yeah. They were pissed.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. They were like, probably, oh, man... Man, you got to get the fuck out. Man, get the fuck out. And then he talked some shit.
Yeah.
And then it was over.
Yeah.
Then it was over.
It'll fuck you up.
That, in fact, I bet you that mark right there on his head, there's probably a dent in the ice machine from where they like hit his head into it as soon as they saw, like.
Yeah. It looked like he hit it on the corner too.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I hope so. Yeah. Maybe he'll learn something.
But that felony marijuana conviction is some fucking bullshit. Yeah. That is some fucking bullshit.
Oh, like, hold on. You think it is? Well, let's get to this.
And now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
All right. You say that's some fucking bullshit? Let's do it up. Kareem, you're first up this week. What's your grievance?
I touched on it on the first show. Cheap motherfuckers. Stop asking for a fucking discount and then not taking the advice or not doing the fucking protocol. Stop wanting a shortcut and then wanting like excellent service. If you don't want to pay, then you don't get all the shit that comes with that. So stop being a cheap bastard. Do what the fuck you're supposed to do, especially when it's going to affect other people. I hate you cheap motherfuckers.
It's a rough time. Jason, you're up.
Man, fuck the New York Times and their fucking recipes. They're fucking piece of shit. No, I mean, seriously, here's the thing. Is like I had my mother-in-law had gotten me a subscription to America's Test Kitchen. Their magazine, all right? And they have some legitimate, awesome recipes in there. Like, everything that I've ever made from there has been fucking dope. And I usually don't necessarily trust recipes from a book. I like to source them, like, and look at multiple different recipes.
Hold on, so you don't trust cookbooks is what you're saying?
That's what you just said. Because depending on where you're getting that cookbook information from, it could be Betty Crocker, and I don't want necessarily the Betty Crocker dish. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
so that's I want something more authentic usually.
Fair enough.
So I trusted it for this jerk chicken recipe because I've been kind of trained to kind of trust these recipes now, and I should not have fucking trust that recipe. I should not have trusted it because when it did say, and this is, there's a number of clues that I should have known, and it definitely presented that made me think that this is, first of all, that it was using bananas in the pickled banana recipe, when it probably should have been plantains in the first place, because it needed the starchiness, like the fact that it used banana, like that was one thing.
If it's the island people, then it's probably plantains and not banana.
Yeah. And I knew that looking at it, but I was like, I'm gonna trust the fucking recipe because I always. Oh my god! So that's the first thing. Second thing is I should have realized that when a bunch of white people at this camp that there's a saying that they liked it. I should have known that it wasn't really that good because no white, like if it was really spicy, a bunch of white people would be like, "This is too hot." And that's kind of the recipe that I wanted. So that fucking also pisses. Like, I should have known, and I fucking know better. So fuck the New York Times. The only shit that I'm going to trust when it comes to the magazine is the Southern Test, the America's Test Kitchen cookbook, because they cook things multiple times to figure out what the best way is. And the sauces that I've gotten from there, like I have this Puntanesca sauce that I found in there that's fucking fire. And it takes like 15 minutes to make, and it's so fucking awesome. And it fucking blows people's heads back. Like, they just have no idea. So they have really good recipes, and I should just trust that. Fuck the New York Times. I'm pissed off that I gave them my fucking data by signing in through fucking Google. Fuck you. I want my fucking money back for the ad you're going to sell me.
All right. I have a grievance that just popped up. So here's a headline. A man was plotting a mass shooting. His grandma stopped him and saved lives. So basically, this less than a month before two deadly shootings, a Lubbock, Texas man who was 19 was arrested by special agents of the FBI and the ATF. He was allegedly contemplating a mass shooting and bought ammunition. He rented a hotel room where he's plotting to kill people before his grandmother persuaded him to visit a hospital after learning of his plan. So here's my grievance. Where is everybody else's fucking grandma? What? Grandmas of America, why are you slacking?
Kevin McCarthy, I mean, like, he was telling you to break down the family.
Why are you slacking? Why are you grandma slacking? I need to know, because we have a grandma who did the right thing. Did she have a gun? Was she a good guy with a gun? No. No, she was snitching.
She was a grandma with a pocketbook.
Grandma was snitching. And because grandma was snitching, people didn't die. So if your grandkid is a weird loner piece of shit, turn him in.
That's right.
Don't go, No. You think it's going to be awkward at Christmas if you turn him in? It's going to be more awkward at Christmas if he shoots people?
Yeah.
Just saying. So instead of blaming video games, and instead of blaming the internet, I believe our new thing to blame for all the mass shootings is grandmas not doing their job. Let's get on that, GOP. Let's blame the grandmas. There's a bunch of old white women who may or may not need to be tasered because they will not snitch on their grandkids. Just saying. That's it.
Not snitches against tasers.
I don't think that country girl would do that. I'm just saying.
No, she wouldn't.
Okay. So this story here was puzzling to me because it's just weird. Dude has been convicted of trying to poison his ex-wife. Check out what he gets for a punishment.
Michigan man convicted of poisoning his wife by spiking her coffee has been sentenced to 60 days in jail to be served on weekends. Ryan Koslowski was caught after his wife set up hidden cameras. She filed for divorce 2 months earlier and said she felt sick every time she drank coffee he made for her. He apologized for putting sleeping pills in the coffee, and the judge says Koslowski was remorseful and sought psychiatric care, but his now ex-wife says her husband wanted her dead.
I believe this was not a case of poisoning. I believe this was attempted murder. Brian was trying to kill me to keep his comfortable life from slipping away.
Prosecutors say they're outraged by the 60-day sentence and they plan to appeal.
60 days and he only has to serve on weekends.
What kind of white privilege bullshit is that?
Right?
Some fucked up shit.
What the fuck? What the actual fuck? I mean, the 60-day sentence is objectionable enough, but the fact that it's only on weekends. It's like, oh, guys, I can't do it. What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to jail.
Hey, listen, we've all thought about poisoning our wives.
Sure. You know, the next 6 months, I'm not going to have a weekend free. I'm sorry. I mean, you can hang with me. You just got to come out to the jail.
I mean, that's like, that judge needs his card pulled. Like, he needs to be like, that's some fucked up shit, man. I mean, there's no, like, that's judge card recalled. Like, there's video evidence of him putting, like, oh, man.
Just saying. Just saying. That's some bullshit. Some bullshit. Some
bullshit. What the fuck did they do that?
Oh, my God.
Bullshit.
Lean back, relax, and enjoy sex toy news.
Headline, sex doll ruling arouses controversy in South Korea. A petition calling for the ban on importing life-size sex dolls into South Korea has gathered nearly a quarter million signatures, passing a threshold that requires the president's office to respond. Now, while sex dolls are not illegal in South Korea, government customs agencies had blocked their import under a law that restricts materials that corrupt public morals. However, the Seoul High Court said in January that sex dolls were for personal use and should be treated differently than pornography, which is heavily restricted under South Korean law. That decision was upheld by the Supreme Court in June. The ruling has sparked a backlash, with one petition filed with the presidential Blue House gathering more than 237,000 signatures. The unidentified author of the petition argued that the influx of imported sex dolls could lead to an increase in sex crimes. Or it could lead to frustrated dudes fucking sex dolls and falling asleep.
Yes.
One or the other. Speaking as a dude, I'm guessing the falling asleep.
Just always remember pull-out methods, number one and key with a sex doll.
Thank you, sex doll expert.
There was a study that said masturbating will help you sleep.
The more you know. So,
yeah, here's what I know. You didn't need a study for that.
I said the same thing.
Yeah. Shit, first thing I do, man.
You tell them, like, I can't sleep. Rub one out.
put the pillow up next to my wife so she can't see. I'm just kidding.
So I sent this article to our friend Diana Hong, who is Korean, and her response was, what the hell? And I said, exactly. That's why it's on the show.
That's why it's on the show.
Yeah. Also, from the New York Post, women are taking dominatrix classes to lure powerful Manhattan billionaires.
Okay.
Now, something strange kept happening to Chrissy Monroe as she strolled along Madison Avenue. Said, I'd be walking down the street and some guy would stop and offer to buy me something. She's the CEO of the Millennial Plastic Surgery Clinic in Midtown. Gifts were the good part, but Monroe said that once she went on dates, these serious, wealthy, powerful men, often captains of the boardroom, they would turn to mush the second they stepped into the bedroom, saying I'd be with these very bossy men who were CEOs, surgeons, or judges, but in bed they'd become completely different. They'd want to lick my feet. They'd want to paint my toenails. I had one guy who would always want to come and clean my house. I've always attracted these guys that want to worship my feet and treat me like a goddess. Oh, that sounds so poor you. So she decided to make the most of it and give these men what they wanted and get her house cleaned. Like dozens of other ladies hungry to hook up with billionaires who haunt the Upper East Side, Tribeca, and other moneyed parts of town, Monroe has turned to Betsy Cox, the owner of Black Book Concierge. A couple of months ago, Cox launched a one-of-a-kind class for women with a particular problem understanding the sexual fetishes of the commanding men they sleep with. She said that BDSM attracts so many formidable types because the amount of control these men have is astronomical. In other words, if you're surrounded by yes men and people greenlighting your ideas, if you dominate all day long, it can be a turn-on to have someone resist you. They're looking for somebody to tell them what to do for once. Even alpha males, it seems, need a break. Jason, are you wishing you were rich? Is that what's happening?
No, I just sometimes...
You don't have the urge to clean a woman's house?
Yes, but I also just don't like the term of alpha males. Like, it's just so part of this incel movement in the first place. You know, like, when you get down to it, like, this idea of alpha males and beta males and...
Cucks.
Yeah, it's so... I don't know, man. It's just so shit. My own shit.
Said it's not like you're there to learn how to give a blowjob. It's more psychological. What makes a rich man want to relinquish control? Yeah, good for all of them.
Yeah. we're all like, yeah. I mean,
whatever.
Whatever. Do it. Whatever. Do it. Like, that's what the guy wants.
Yeah. Whatever. That's if that's your thing, go ahead.
Not going to yuck your yum.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right, let's, you know, I need something clean and wholesome to make me forget this entire week of shows and go out on a happy note, and I think I have it.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
And Jason has hawked up a lung. Marilyn Haggerty never disappoints. She's not on the Eat Beat this time. No, it's a lifestyle article. Couple honors 75 years of marriage. When they were married 75 years ago in Hatton, Eileen Dolve and Joseph Larson promised to love, cherish, and honor one another. They really meant it. Now they're celebrating their 75th wedding anniversary at St. John Lutheran Church in Hatton, where they were married on June 21st, 1944. There's an open house buffet between 5 and 7, with a program beginning at 6 p.m. She's 100, and he'll be 102. Well, he's 102 now. The years have been good for them. They have traveled. They still get around. They enjoy visiting. The Hatton area is still home, but they spend much of their time near Chicago, where their daughter has been a physician. Their son, Joe Larson, has a law firm in Jamestown. Larsons have eight grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren, which means the grandchildren have not been good about reproducing. Now, when looking back on their years together, the Larsons are philosophic, saying we all make mistakes, you should never carry a grudge. Adding that if you leave a grudge till the next morning, it seems to disappear. Says love is one thing, but if you respect one another, the love runs deeper. They've been married so long, they finish each other's sentences. Eileen grew up on a family farm near Hatton. In the fall of 1940, she enrolled in North Dakota State University, which was then North Dakota College of Agriculture. It was there she met Joseph Joe Larson. Crazy nicknames. Their first home was in Cleveland. There, Joe Larson used his degree in mechanical engineering in the Air Force Research Laboratory. Later, he spent his time helping on family farms and eventually took over the farm south of Hatton on Highway 18. Eileen, who worked as a teacher in Minnesota, focused her interest to schools when her 2 children started out. Always a leader, she carried her enthusiasm into schoolwork. She says she loved the 18 years of teaching half-time at the school on Grand Forks Air Force Base. Always active, she was a chairman of the 20th District Republican Women. Boo. Sorry. Later, she was president of the state women's board, and she served on national boards. She said she wouldn't change anything in her life, even if she could. She believes men and women are created equally and says, quote, "My husband has always treated me that way." By God, we managed to end on a happy note.
Yay.
And we had to learn it from someone who is a president of a Republican women's group. Wonders never cease. All right, everybody, have a great one. We will be back Wednesday, another fresh news show for you. And if you could, just be nice to people.
That's nice.
Yeah, just be nice to people, even if they don't deserve it.
Give a white guy with glasses a blowjob. Save a life.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. I mean, you know, I'm not going to kill anybody, but I, you know, I'm not going to turn my wife down. Everybody else, no. Get away.
Good answer.
Get away, all the rest of you. All right.
I might accept after a phone call.
All right. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Nate, you're 100% right.